What's going on next here? I guess I should know that. We're going to welcome another storyteller to the microphone, Cherie Booker. She's the author of a book called 9 Years Under. And when she tells her story, you're going to understand the context of that title. Please help me welcome Cherie Booker.
Why, thank you. Good evening. My first summer job was at a funeral home. And it started off as a summer job, and it ended off being a permanent job, and I ended up staying there for 9 years, hence the title, 9 Years Under. But it was the summer of 2002. It was my fifth summer on the job, and summer is usually our busiest time of year. I mean, with Baltimore's homicide rate and the heat strokes, I mean, we were pretty busy. In fact, we were so busy that my boss was going to give me a new task. I had mastered pretty much everything else, and today he needed me to make a removal, which meant that I needed to go pick up a body. Now, I had never driven any of the company vehicles, and that particular day, I was going to drive, not a hearse, but our removal van, which was a minivan. It was a Windstar. The back seats had been removed, and they put a track in it so that you could easily slide the gurney in, flowers, anything that could just lay there. Well, back then, I was the same height. I was about 20 pounds lighter than this. So my boss sent his cousin along with me to help me out. I mean, he was like in his late 50s, 60-year-old man. I didn't know how he could assist me, but he sent him anyway. So we had to prep to go and make this removal. So basically, you washed out the gurney, the stretcher, made sure it was nice and prepared for the next person who would be riding in it. And we got ready, we got in the car, and we were on our way to the other funeral home to pick up this woman. We get there, everything's fine. In fact, our rival funeral home nicely handed over the body, even though the family decided not to use them. They were so sweet, they didn't make me lift a finger. Billy did everything. So we roll this woman out, put her in the back of the van, and everything's fine. We're on our way back to the funeral home. When one of my coworkers calls and asks if I could stop at McDonald's to get her a big and tasty meal. Now, I mean, I was in college. I was, you know, 18, 19. I didn't know it was untasteful to take someone's loved one through the drive-thru at McDonald's. And I mean, the woman who was asking my coworker, she was my superior, so I kind of had to do what she said. So it's midday, I get to McDonald's, the line is long, it's so long that Cousin Billy gets out of the car to go to the filling station to get some cigarettes. That's how long the line is. So he leaves me alone with Miss Ruffin. I, you know, get a chance to bond with her. I say a little prayer, you know, Lord, protect her, let her be okay. Bless her family. I hope they spend a lot of money. I hope I get this bonus. You know, I got some things to do this summer. I don't know what kind of casket she's gonna go on. I hope it's not a cremation. Yeah. So clearly, I wasn't paying attention when I turned the corner and crashed into the guardrail. But Ms. Ruffin, she seemed okay. She was all right. And so then I backed the van up, and I make that little dent bigger. It's like ginormous. It's huge. So I'm like, okay. So I look at Ms. Ruffin again, and she seems to be fine. So I'm like, okay, Ms. Ruffin, it's fine. We're in this together, okay? It's me and you. This is you and I, okay? You didn't see anything, I didn't see anything, there's no other cars involved, we're fine. So, I mean, it was so bad that the two cashiers at window one and window two, they both looked out like, okay, what's going on? So I rode up to window two, I paid the woman, I got the big and tasty meal. And I waited for Billy to come back. He comes back, he looks at it, he shakes his head, he lights his cigarette, he smokes about 10 of them at one time. I call my boss and let him know that I've crashed. I start thinking that I need to pack my things because this is probably my last day at work. So I get back to the funeral home, pull the car into the garage. I go upstairs, take this woman her big and tasty meal. It's here, all right? So my boss, in the meantime, he's inspecting the car. He sees the damage. He needs to check Miss Ruffin to make sure Miss Ruffin is okay. About 2.5 minutes later, he summons me to the basement. Booker, get down here now. So I'm just like picking up my shoes from under the desk, taking everything, making sure I don't have any paychecks left there. I'm just taking everything. I get downstairs. Where are Miss Ruffin's legs? Well, I think they're on her body. They should be there. He's not joking. He's not laughing. So I'm sitting there like, okay, did I just commit vehicular manslaughter or something? What has happened to Miss Ruffin's legs? Well, I never checked the bag before I left. And Miss Ruffin happened to be a paraplegic. So she really didn't have any legs. But my boss didn't know. The damage from the car looked like I could have killed that woman again. So, there's a moral to this story, which would be, one, you should probably check the bag when you're making a removal, make sure everything's in there. And two, you should never, ever, ever, ever drive a dead body through the McDonald's on Franklin Town and Warwick Avenue. Thanks.
Sheree Booker, I'm kind of glad you're not in that industry anymore. Something is, I just feel comforted to know that you moved on to something else.